Father, bless our hearts today, and we cast all our burdens and cares upon you. We open our ears to listen to your voice and to receive your life through the words you speak this morning. Amen. John 10:9, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture." Jesus said very clearly he was the door. We know because of him we have salvation, but I also want us to focus on that second part. We need to recognize the freedom he's given us to go in and out and find pasture. In other words, you're free to feed on him and to grow spiritually. A lot of believers know they're saved, but they don't realize the freedom that that door has provided for their life to grow in the Lord. Jesus said, "I am the door." And would it be any different today? Christ in us is still an open door. The question mark is, as we look at our life, are we a door or a wall? That's the burden I have this morning. The Christ in us wants us to have the kind of attitude and heart where we are an open door to experience more of the Lord and an open door for others to go through us and be blessed of the Lord. A door is open right now in the Spirit for certain spiritual realities to become very real to us. And I want to just talk about a few that the Lord just put on my heart this morning. One is Jesus Christ as our head. And I know everybody knows Ephesians 5:23, Christ is head of the church. Yet I still think in the religious realm, we somehow think that through organization and human resources, we're going to get the body of Christ moving, we're going to get the bride ready. There's still way too much reliance on our flesh. Amen. The reality is, we all are believing for the bride of Christ to be made ready, the army of the Lord. We talk about all these things and we put them off somewhere in the future because we look at the body at this point and we see a lot of immaturity. The correction for that is every member needs to know the Lord as their personal head, the mind of Christ. And that's been fought. The enemy fights that tooth and nail. You realize there's a great battle going on for our minds. The enemy wants anything else to be head over our thinking but the Lord. But that open door that we have is for a stronger connection for the head to be a personal head to us, his mind, his thoughts, to be ruling our lives. Now, it's unfortunate, you know, God gives such a gift of authority to the church and the shepherd's heart and all these things. But when it's not done in a right way, it tends to bottleneck. And really, God gives his authority. What is authority? It comes from the realm of spirit, from God's realm of heaven. And as it's released in the natural plane, it changes everything. Authority can change everything on this earthly plane to be just like heaven. God gives his gift of authority and he says, okay, this authority is to be an open door. God gives his authority so that we can all have a stronger connection to the head. Yet, unfortunately, when people don't understand that, and we can talk about leadership, but I hope everyone in this room takes responsibility and hold yourself accountable to this. When we don't have a right attitude toward authority, we're insecure, we're fearful, we want to build our own kingdom, what's meant to be an open door becomes a bottleneck. And that needs to be corrected. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Actually, I'm looking for another verse. I wrote down the wrong one. Oh, I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. I can start in verse 18. "Let no one defraud you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement, the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Now, what's Paul getting at here? Growth takes place because we're all held together by the head. Paul was an apostle. He had great authority. Things did not bottleneck with him. He was not trying to build his own kingdom. Paul was not this insecure person that goes, now that I have all these gifts, I want a following. I want to gather people around myself. Read of Philippians chapter 3 when he talks about what he was all about. He says, I forget everything. Nothing matters to me but the prize that's in God in Christ Jesus, that prize of knowing the Lord. His warning to the Galatian church, there were those coming in with the legalism. And you read through the epistles, there were so many factions at that time. So many different ways the enemy was moving, trying to capture people's minds. Religious spirits, the spirits that were in the world. And Paul was setting a standard saying, this is all that matters. You need to know the Lord. He's got to be your head. He's expressing it right here. But he expresses it through all the epistles. He was an open door, and he was using his authority for people to be connected to the Lord. Because he knew that unless each member knew Jesus Christ as their personal head, the body wouldn't grow. We still don't get this. In an age where we have gift ministries, apostles, prophets, wonderful gifts, we have authority being revealed and given, do we understand that that authority's got to be used correctly? It's got to be an open door for people to know the Lord in a greater way. Everyone in this room would admit that Moses was a great leader, wouldn't you? I think he's one of the best. Meekest man on the face of the earth. He leaves Egypt. He left his ego behind, I think, in Egypt too, when he ran away. Goes in the backside of the desert. He's content just to be there. God has to seek him out and convince him to come and do what God wants him to do, lead the people out. So he's a leader not because he's looking for any glory. He's doing it because God told him to do it. Tremendous leader. He knows the ways of the Lord. And yet, he doesn't enter the promised land, and neither do the people. What happened? They get out into the wilderness. God wants to be head of the nation of Israel. And the people say, we don't want you as our head. We want Moses as our head. Listen, God, this will work. Moses knows your ways. You talk to him. Moses will be our head. This is not the model we should be practicing. This is not the kingdom of God. And yet, it's prevalent in the church world. People will gladly take a ministry that's spiritual and say, that person will be my head. I'll do whatever they say. That doesn't mean that you know the voice of the Lord or that you're following the Lord. Now, what's the result of that? Well, do you know what happened in the book of Exodus? How well did it work out for the people trying to follow Moses? First of all, they didn't do it. Second of all, nobody of that generation moved forward spiritually. There's only one mediator. That's Jesus Christ. When we put any other person in that place, or a church, a group, a movement, what happens is we do not move forward spiritually, we just wander. Lots of movement. There's lots of movement in the church world. Where are we going, though? Are we just wandering, or are we moving into the promised land that God has spoken? So important. There is an open door right now. Jesus Christ wants to be the personal head of every member of the body. He wants every member to know his will for their life. He wants every member to have confidence in being led by the Spirit. So we need to see that that happens in our own heart. It's interesting, in Luke chapter 10, Paul talks about, or not Paul, excuse me, Jesus. Remember, the disciples went out and they're casting out devils. And they were just amazed. Wow, look at this. This authority causes things in this natural realm to bend to what God wants. Jesus said, don't rejoice over that. He goes, yeah, I saw Satan fall from heaven. That's great. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. It's not just what authority does to change this natural realm. Authority positions you with the Father. It's what it does in the realm of heaven. Authority and that shepherd's heart that's released to you is an open door for you to find your destiny in God, for you to know Jesus Christ as your personal head. His mind becomes your mind. All right, another thing I want to talk about is faith. Authority, when it's released in a right way, when it's flowing in a right way, releases people into faith, into their destiny. Again, it doesn't bottleneck around a person or a group or a church. It's an open door into more of the Lord. Hebrews 11 is our chapter of faith. And I think really, if you want to pick one chapter out of the Bible, you could say, well, what does destiny really look like? What does spiritual destiny look like in this natural realm? We have all a lot of ideas, don't we, about that? Well, destiny, if I'm really moving in destiny, I've got all these wonderful gifts, I'm doing great works. From God's perspective, what spiritual destiny looks like is Hebrews 11. Those that walked and lived in faith. It may include great works, it may not. But what pleases God is our faith that becomes faithfulness to Him. I think we're too performance-oriented still. Amen. We define destiny by how well we perform or works. You can't capture it that way. That's not God's perspective. That's a human perspective. What is the expression of faith? I'm going to read a few verses to you. And again, what are we talking about? An open door. Authority will release you. It should be an open door into greater faith. Romans 5:1. Just a few verses that I kind of hit my heart. And then we're going to look at Hebrews 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful statement. How are we justified? Now, I know what the verse says, but how do we normally think? I'm going to be justified by my behavior, by my works, by doing the right things, not doing the wrong things. You see that old covenant model, that old way of thinking? It's an old wineskin, still prevails too much. We need to find that open door into the truth where we are justified, we are pleasing to God because of the faith in our life, not by our performance. Very, very important. Another verse is 2 Timothy 4:7. You can read these later. If you have trouble finding them, as I'm having trouble right now. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, Paul's talking about himself, his ministry. Now, he worked miracles, he established churches, he had a tremendous impact as far as the body of Christ moving forward. You talk about apostles of apostles, but that's not how he saw himself. Here's how Paul describes his destiny. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. How's Paul describing his great ministry? Not by works. I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. What a treasure that is. Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is what? The author and perfecter of our flesh, of our faith. The journey begins in faith. The journey ends in faith. And that journey of faith is what makes the heart of God glad. Hebrews 11, you can read this later, is a chapter that you can put your name into. It describes what we call the heroes of the faith. But that chapter didn't end with verse 40. It goes on and lives from generation to generation. Men and women that found the faith, became faithful to God through it. From God's perspective, that's his destiny being fulfilled. Now, we all like to read about, let's say, Abraham. By faith, he went out not knowing where he was going, the great things that he did. Moses, by faith, he endured as seeing him who was in unseen. You know, by faith, they broke into this realm of spirit. You know, we follow an invisible God, don't we? What I mean by that is he's spirit, and we're stuck in these physical bodies in a natural plane. The only bridge between the two planes is faith. But throughout this chapter, it's talking not about people that moved in the most gifts. It's just the faith they exercised. Moses acting out of that which was unseen. Yet he acted on faith and obeyed God. Now, we look at these different heroes, and this is one point I want you to focus on. There's a lot of people mentioned here that you know the expression one-hit wonder? Musically, someone has a hit and you never hear from them again. Well, there are people here that didn't have a lifetime of miracles and great works. They may have just done one thing. And some things, if you read through this chapter, it talks about how different ones suffered. Sawn in two, stoned to death. Again, God's just looking for that quality of faith. It's not measured by how much, this quantity that we're looking for. My ministry's got to be big, big, big. No, one quality of faith. Sometimes people did one thing. They're in this book. Amen. Let's focus on one of those people. Verse 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in Egypt. She did one thing right. And she's in the same book here, the same chapter, in the same spiritual destiny with people like Abraham, Moses. You know, I look at this, I think, my gosh, I wouldn't want it described this way. It would have been enough to say Rahab did this, Rahab the harlot. You know, put your name there and say you, the drug dealer or whatever, you know, just describing. You know, this is not a lifestyle that the Bible condones. She was a harlot, right? You know, and yet it to me, the Word of God, it's so beautiful. It's so open and honest. You know, we'd want to hide that. Let's not put that in. Yeah, she chose the wrong profession, but she did this. She hid the spies. This one act of faith, she honored God in that. She's in the book. Yet God wants us to know that it's not what we are in the flesh that matters. Amen. The fact that she was a harlot, it's not that the scriptures condone that type of lifestyle. Of course it doesn't. But she did one thing in faith toward God, and God looked down and smiled and said, bless you for that. That's your destiny being revealed. You're a part of the spiritual destiny of Christ. I thought that was just beautiful. I love that. We're all a part of this. We talk about the open door. I know we've all experienced this, but the open door, what authority releases, what the shepherd's heart releases, is for every person to discover their own unique place in this chapter. And to stop struggling with legalism or dead works or trying to perform to God, before God to get approval. All these things that are dead ends that the enemy's involved with that bring nothing but torment and condemnation. God wants to wipe that away. Remember in Zechariah when Joshua was standing there? And the enemy's right there, and God says, the Lord rebuke you. This is a brand plucked from the fire. We're all standing before God, and the enemy's trying to remind us of what's wrong with us, our faults, our humanity, our sins. We need to hear that voice. That's what authority needs to do. It needs to rebuke the condemnation. Because there's an open door, but if people feel condemned and they live under condemnation, it might as well be a wall. Nobody goes forward with that. But when authority comes to rebuke that lie, and the truth comes that you are a brand plucked from the fire, amen. You see, that's an open door to discover the faith that God's put in your heart to move forward. Okay, the last thing is, and this is the third thing with the open door, a door is opened not just for ourselves, but for others to go through. Authority is always given for the benefit of others. There's a song that came out a while back, a Paul Simon song called One Man's Ceiling is Another Man's Floor, quite a few years ago. And I can't remember the lyrical content right now, what he was getting at, but that title just stuck in my mind. One man's ceiling is someone else's floor. I think often when we look at our life, we're always looking for authority to expand our ceiling, right? More, more, more. But do we also recognize that authority is there for someone else to climb on our back and start and build from our ceiling. It's to be someone else's floor. Whatever we're doing right now, there's another generation coming up that our ceiling will be their floor. They'll build on this and move forward in the will of God. Authority is all about releasing other people. It can't be self-centered. And I know we all want to grow. We all want our ceiling to grow and be higher, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But you've got to see more than that. Authority and the open door that you have in your heart is to promote other people. You know, I thought about this one example. We, for years, prayed for certain things to happen in the earth. And they're happening. But, you know, one problem is, when you pray for something, you always assume that it's going to be you that's going to experience it first. Right? God, we want to see breakthrough. We want to see signs and wonders. We want it. But you do know that it's got to happen through me. I mean, it's not like I don't. It's not acceptable to do it to this group over here. But that's the way God moves. Things that we believe for years are happening. And I believe for all of us to be experience it. Don't get me wrong. We have to examine our own heart. Is there an open door in our heart to promote others? Do we rejoice when we see the word fulfilled? If it's with someone else or for someone else? Or do we say, if it's not me, I can't rejoice in it? We see that becomes a wall, doesn't it? John the Baptist had a tremendous ministry, didn't he? Yet when Jesus showed up, he goes, I'm not even worthy to tie this guy's shoe. I must decrease, he must increase. What was John all about? Was John after a following? No, he was there to promote what was next. John's ceiling became the floor that Jesus stepped out on. Someone sent me a text this week or an email about a word about Jonathan and David, and I thought this is a perfect example of it. Jonathan was supposed to be heir, wasn't he? Remember when Saul was king, Jonathan was his son. And of course, Saul was messing up, and Jonathan was a valiant warrior, a good man. Logical choice for a king. But who did God choose? David. And you read about their friendship. Where is this? In 2nd, we're not going there now. 2 Samuel chapters 19 and 20. There was no jealousy on Jonathan's part. He, in fact, through their friendship and through their relating together, he preserved David's life, protected David from his father, Saul. It wasn't a thing where Jonathan said, I've got to be king here. I'm the rightful heir. He recognized the anointing was on David, and he promoted David. That's what true authority is all about. It promotes other people, rejoices when others move forward spiritually. You look at the ceiling of your own experience and you say, God, I want someone to crawl up on my shoulders and let my ceiling be their floor to move on to the greater things. Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, let me wash your feet. Listen, guys, greater works than these are you going to do. I'm going to leave. What was he talking about? He said, you know, the Spirit was coming and would indwell them. Those are the greater works. Never before had God's Spirit been in anyone. Right? He was with people. And Jesus was saying, I'm going to leave and my Spirit will indwell you. He was promoting them. All about promotion and advancement. He wasn't trying to say, I'm your king, just gather around me, I'm not going to leave, we've got a great movement going. He goes, no. He was all about the Father, right? So that's the way it flows. Well, I think we've got the point with that. I remember back in my own experience, starting out when the Spirit became real, probably in my late teens, it seemed so easy. Boom. Things just kind of exploded. You know, the voice of the Lord opened up. Things move quickly. But you know what? I grew up hearing my aunt, uncle, and my mom and dad give me stories of my heritage, my grandparents, the price that others paid, my parents and family paid, when things were persecuted, weren't well received. And you know, I realized that when I stepped out on my late teens, I was stepping out on someone else's ceiling. I was stepping out on the prayers of a lot of people. And ground that had been won spiritually, you know, again, I've heard these stories, and I kept them in my heart. It just made such sense. For all of us, we're here and moving in things because someone else paid a price. Someone else was praying. So what is God asking us to do? We do that for others. We do that for others. When authority is focused out to be a blessing to others, and you want to be that open door that people pass through, you've really captured the heart of the Lord. That is his heart. And whenever things bottleneck or becomes about us, focused on us, you watch that door begins to close. And you know what? A door that's closed is no different than a wall, is it? You can say, well, can't you see? That's a door. Yeah, but if it doesn't open, what good is it? And I think with a lot of people, there's the potential. Yes, Christ is the open door. There's a door within them. But it's our attitude of heart that determines whether that door is going to be open or closed. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we have this treasure within us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we recognize that he's the same today as he was yesterday. He'll be the same tomorrow. He wants to be an open door. We repent, Lord, of our own attitude, our own fears, insecurities, our own ego that would cause that door to close. And we determine in our heart, Lord, to allow the door that's within us in Christ to be wide open. That you can be our head in a greater way, that we can experience the faith in a greater way, that other people through our lives can advance and be promoted into greater things in you. In all things, we give you thanks. Amen.